Chapter 12. Going Home. I left Moorhouse early the next morning after saying a hurried goodbye to Diana and Mary. I will be away for 3 or 4 days, I told them. I have to visit an old friend. It was June, but the weather was cloudy and cold. I waited at Whit Cross for the carriage to come. It was the same carriage that brought me here a year ago with nothing. The journey took 36 hours. At last, we arrived in Millcote, and I got out. He is probably in Europe, I told myself. And if he is at Thornfield with his wife, then what can I do? But I started to walk along the lane towards Thornfield. Then I passed the stile and went into the gardens. But there I saw no house, only a great black ruin. I immediately hurried back to Millcote. What happened to Thornfield Hall? I asked a man in the street.
Don't you know? He replied. It's a ruin. 10 months ago, there was a terrible fire there. It was started by a lady who lived there. She was Mr. Rochester's wife, but none of us knew about her until after the fire.
Was Mr. Rochester at home when the fire started? I asked.
Yes, he was, and he went to save his wife, but she was on the roof. I saw it all happen. She was a big woman with long black hair. Mr. Rochester came towards her, and then she screamed and jumped. The next moment, she was on the ground, dead.
Good God!
It was terrible, ma'am, he said, and he shook a little.
And afterwards, did anyone else die?
Well, the house is a ruin. But no, no one else died. Maybe that's not a good thing, he replied. Poor Mr. Rochester, he said. It's terrible for him.
How? I asked. Is he in England?
Yes, he is in England. He can't leave. Because he is blind. He cannot see, because he was badly hurt in the fire.
Where does he live now? I asked.
He's at his house in Ferndean, about 30 miles away, he replied. He lives with his servant, old John, and John's wife, Mary. He is a very sad man now, they say.
Then please, can you get me a carriage to go to Ferndean immediately? I said. I will pay you very well for it. Ferndean was a large old house on a farm. I knew that Mr. Rochester sometimes visited it, but it was my first time there. I arrived on a dark, windy night and walked the last mile. A pair of high gates appeared through the trees, and behind them was an old stone house. I went to the door and knocked on it. John's wife, Mary, came and opened it. She was very surprised to see me, so I quickly told her my story. At that moment, a bell rang from inside the house.
"He's ringing for his tea," she said.
Then please, give it to me to take to him, I said. A few minutes later, I took some tea into the drawing room. My hand shook, and my heart was going very fast. The room was very dark. Only a small fire burned in the fireplace. Standing next to it was Mr. Rochester, with his head in his hands. His old dog, Pilot, lay at his feet. But Pilot put up his ears when I came in, and then he jumped towards me.
Lie down, Pilot, I said. Mr. Rochester turned tiredly towards me.
Give me the tea, Mary, he said.
I moved towards him with the tea. Pilot followed me, still excited.
Down, Pilot, I said again.
What is the matter? Mr. Rochester asked. This is you, Mary, isn't it?
Mary is in the kitchen, I replied. He put out his hands, but he could not see me to touch me.
Who is this?
He said. Suddenly, his hand was on my arm, my shoulder.
Is it Jane? This is her body, her size.
And this is her voice, I added. She is all here. Her heart, too. Sir, I am so happy to be near you again. I have come back to you.
Jane Eyre? Jane Eyre? But it is only a dream. I have many dreams at night when I hold her to my heart once more, like I do now, and kiss her. Then I feel that she still loves me and has never left me.
And I will never leave you again, sir, I replied.
But I always woke and found it was a dream, he cried unhappily. My life was dark and without hope. Oh, kiss me, Jane.
There, sir, and there.
I put my mouth to his eyes and kissed him then. Then I kissed his hair. He suddenly stood taller.
Is it really you? Is it Jane? Have you come back to me then?
He said. I have.
And you are not dead in some river? He said. You are not living with strangers?
No, sir. I am a rich woman now, and I am living with family, I replied. My uncle in Madeira is dead, and he left me £5,000. If you don't want to live with me, I can build my own house close to your door, and you can come to visit me every evening.
But Jane, I want a wife.
Do you, sir? I said.
Of course. What shall I do?
I smiled. Choose the woman who loves you best, sir.
Then I will. Jane, will you marry me?
Yes, sir, I will. Oh, I am going to be the happiest woman on earth.
He held me against his chest. You know, Jane, a couple of days ago I was in my room sitting by the window. I could smell the warm summer air. Suddenly, I needed you so much, and I called your name. Jane! Jane! Jane!
Was it Monday night, near to midnight?
Yes. And I heard your voice reply, I am coming. Wait for me.
I am sure those words were yours.
Oh, I thank God. I thank God.
Reader, I married him. We had a small wedding with no guests. A few days later, I wrote to St. John, Mary, and Diana. St. John did not reply. Maybe he did not get the letter. But Mary and Diana wrote us happy words.
You haven't forgotten little Adele, have you, reader? I went to visit her at her school. She was so happy to see me, but she looked pale and thin. I took her home with me and found a better school for her. She came to visit us often and grew to be a kind and sweet woman who is now a good friend to me. I have now been married for 10 years. I know what it is
to live for and with what I love best on earth. I am very lucky. I am my husband's life, and he is mine. We talk all day, and our lives are wonderful. Edward Rochester was blind for the first 2 years of our marriage. I was his eyes, and I took him everywhere. Then, after 2 years, he began to see again in one of his eyes. When our first son was put into his arms, he was able to see that his son's eyes were huge and black, just like his own. Penguin Readers, Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte, Level 4, retold by Anna Truin, illustrated by Hannah Peck, series editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Jenny Bryce, copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2020.